Let's continue the sugya of Tachnun. Yesterday we discussed some of the yonim of Tachnun. Today let's discuss which hand does.
I fell today.
Yeah.
And you fell on the floor.
No, I stood.
You stood.
And I kept my feet together all the way through.
And everybody.
Oh, you davening for the Amud.
Right.
You davening for the Amud. But that's not the common custom.
Naturally.
So I saw it couldn't be done.
Right.
Okay.
That would do the difference. That was different than he always
did. Okay.
I didn't daven Tachnun today. I didn't daven Tachnun.
You did not. It was a bris. It was a bris. Very good. Okay, very good. Very good. There's no Tachnun at Mincha today.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's continue. On which hand does one fall? So this is a big discussion. Should one fall on the left? Should one fall on the right? And especially when one is wearing tefillin. Now let's first discuss the Mincha. Mincha, we're not wearing tefillin, or at least it's not our custom to wear tefillin. Some people do wear tefillin. They go to Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
They'll be surprised. What? What's going on over here? There are people in Eretz Yisrael who wear it from America. America, it's rare. Not that it's not done. I've seen
it.
From Mincha.
Used to put on American time.
I didn't ask.
A lot of people put on Rabbeinu Tam, put it on by Mincha.
A lot of people?
Thousands. You don't put on, what are you going to put it on without a bracha?
With a bracha. What's the difference? Put it on with a bracha. Make a bracha. Why not? You have to make a bracha on the talus also.
Yeah.
You make a bracha on the talus. Narbenutan. Okay, there are different arguments. I think some of the briskets they wear Rambam. You know something called Rambam tefillin?
Make another bracha.
What?
Buy a talus every time you put on the Arba Kalfish.
Yeah. Till the same thing. No. Same exact thing. You make a new bracha. You absolutely make a new bracha. No such thing. You put on the tefillin. You make a bracha every time you put on tefillin. Like talus, nothing to talk about. There are people who wear. No, we're used to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but there are some exotic pairs of tefillin. There's Rambam tefillin, the briskas they wear Rambam tefillin.
Shimusharaba.
I asked. Remember Rabbi Cohn? He gave a shir here once. I asked if he ever sold a pair of Shimusharaba tefillin. We once had a shir on this a long time ago. What is Shimusharaba? How the parshas are written? So he said once. He once had an order for Shemusha Rabba Tzvon. You're not supposed to. Shemusha Rabba Tzvon is only miyuchad for a tzaddik yisrael. The parshios are written. They're written in a very interesting way. The order of the parshios. I don't remember. They're done. They're written away. The order of the parshios. I don't remember. There's more. No. Only four bottom.
Which parshios?
No, there are more differences. Shemusha Rabba have some very unique.
No,
features.
One goes right to left and one is left.
Left to right. Okay, it's also right. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, let's go first. So the question is, which side do you fall Tachman?
Stay tefillin. What about the third?
What about the Rambam? What about the Shemusha Rabba tefillin? That's what the Gros says. The Gros says not to wear. That means the Gros not to wear our Rabbeinu Tam. Because once already one is say there's a suffix, all the tefillin there are 64 different possibilities. Something like that. So you already should wear 64 pairs of tefillin. If you're not going to follow Rashi and just follow one Mahalach, you want to go start going into Sveikas. There's no end to the Sveikas. Okay, let's go further. Which hand does one fall Tachlan to this one fall on? Even if you tell me which hand you fall Tachlan, do you turn when you fall Tachlan, do you turn your face inwards or do you turn your face away? Think about it, what do? When you fall Tachnun, you put your boots
straight down.
Who says that's the right thing to do? Maybe you should turn to the side. L'chor, no one says, that's what I do also. Okay, but no one says you should put your head straight down. They say you should turn you're supposed to really turn yourself slightly to one side or the other. Okay, so what's it all about? So one hand, we mentioned yesterday that, well, what's the purpose of saying Tachnun? We mentioned yesterday that one of the purposes of saying Tachnun is you're meiser nefesh. You're giving up yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemisa, as if you're offering yourself up as a human sacrifice. Karbonos are always put down on the left side. It says in the Medrash that when Avraham Avinu, he brought Yitzchak on the Akedah, he put Yitzchak down on the left side. he was made to lie down on his left side. Carbon tamid. All of the carbonists in the Beis HaMikdash, when they were pushed down, they were pushed down on their left side. So we'd say tachnun, we are putting ourselves we're imagining that we're offering ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore we're proper to go down on our left side. That's one halach. And this is a fascinating idea. Someone wanted to say the following. There, you're going to be shocked when I tell you this. The reason why you fall on your left side is the same reason why at the Hatseder you do Haseva on the left side. What's Haseva on the left side? Kederech b'nei chayrin. Kederech b'nei chayrin, you're a free man. When you're a free man, the free men, they sit, their posture is on the left, because they're always reclining and they're drinking wine. This is the tzura, the image of a free man is... No, that's the point. The point is you want to magnify your sacrifice. I'm not... For a slave to sacrifice himself, big deal. I'm a slave, so you give up your life. I'm a free man. And even though I'm a dignified person, I still want to give up. I still want to show who my creator is, who the boss is. You dignify yourself in order to... The more you dignify yourself, the greater sacrifice it is. If you're nothing, nobody, and you just... Okay, so you're nobody, you're nothing. It's easy. But when your life has meaning... I never appreciated this idea until I heard a Holocaust survivor speak. This Holocaust survivor is no longer living. I think he passed away. So he spoke about things that he did during the war. He miraculously survived, and he did the most outrageous things in the camps. And like, he would go over to Nazi soldiers and he would talk with them with chutzpah, these SS guards with tremendous chutzpah, and he'd say, "You want to kill me? Kill me! Kill me!" Open up a shirt, and nothing happened. And he said, he looks back now, it was 100% a nace. Nice and nace that he survived. And he attributes it to the bracha of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Not this Lubavitcher Rebbe, his father took him. And he describes in detail what it was like. What it was like when he went to see him. He was a little boy. And he says it was mamish mas. So the people in the audience asked him, "Why were you so foolish? Okay, it was a miracle. You survived. You went to become a very..." What fool would behave like this?
Nothing to lose.
So he basically said, and this is very, this like really it shook me up incredibly, is he says, "You don't understand. Life meant nothing.
Right.
We were reduced to such garbage."
Right.
You don't understand. He was a youth. Baruch Hashem, even the lowest person today has some value of life, because people aren't dying in the streets. Everyone, Baruch Hashem, you have what to eat. Everyone is fine. So even if you don't have a job and you're suffering some mild depression, but your value of life is infinitely greater than the average person that I grew up with, because we were nothing, garbage. Life had no meaning. So if life has no meaning, big deal, kill me. Don't even think about it. It's hard to put yourself in that frame of mind. When it comes to tachnon, that's exactly a very, very, very profound idea. You have to build yourself up. If my life has no meaning, big deal, I'll fall tachnon, what do I care? But when your life has meaning, you're an Adam Choshev, you have the tzura of a person that's reclining on the left side. I'm on my left hand, and yet I'm going down, I'm not going to just be on my left, I'm going to go down on my left. That enhances your sacrifice before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very interesting idea. Now others say it's... What?
Why do we do it by that?
Why do we do it by the animals? So it appears to be Kabbalah. Yoni Kabbalah. I don't know anything about Kabbalah.
Yeah, but the grace of God go on, so the animals instead of you.
Animals,
so
it doesn't make a difference left.
Animal, it's a Kabbalah. No,
instead of you.
On Migdash, you're in place of the animal. The animal was on the left side. Why animal on the left side? I don't know. It says it's Beferish, and it could be in the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Medrash.
You say it was in Tumit?
Yeah, that's where it's described in great detail. I'm sure somewhere it's there. The weird that it's on the left side. Either it's a Beferish Mishnah, or it's a Gemara, or it's a we shine. But it seems he quotes over here that that's how, that's Dar Posh, that's how it was done. He even says in the Medrash by the Akedah that Yitzchak, in the description of how Avram offered Yitzchak, he put him down on his left side. Yeah?
And someone once said, Lagabash Shaloya Samigoy.
Yeah?
That someone came in once in the morning to the mikvah. Who won the American election?
I want to be able to say Shaloya Samigoy.
Shaloya Samigoy, what do you think? I mean, the shikar in the street? I mean, even the president.
Okay, there's a I told you this, there's a famous joke with a boy going on a date with a girl. The boy went on a date with a girl, and the girl learned in the premier seminary, BJJ. Okay, it was a lot of seminary, but years ago that was the only game in town. You learn BJJ by Rebbetzin David, Rav Chudner's daughter. Ah. It's like, you know, this is the cream of the crop. And the boy was going out with the girl, and the girl was telling him, you know, we learned, Rebbetzin David taught us, she taught us this. And she taught us this. And she taught us this. The girl is going on. And then the girl says, do you know what Rebbe David taught us? That when you say the bracha, Baruch Atah Shalchem Rechom Shloes Sanigoy, you shouldn't think about, low life. You should think about the most, the greatest of the great, wherever the guy is. And even him, you say, Shloes Sanigoy. So the boy said, and you know what they taught us in yeshiva? They told us in yeshiva that when you say Shaloya Sani Isha, even Rabbi's in there. You like that joke? Okay.
It's funny when you say, even the president, I said, Shaloya Sani Goy. What's the next bracha? Shaloya Sani
Goy. Amen. Okay. Who was sharper? Who was sharper, the boy or the girl? Okay, so this is the... Okay, so that,
what
this,
about the Chassidish guy?
Yeah.
Who's saying he's up to Shaloya Sani Isha. How could you say the word Isha? The Smedrash?
Shaloya Sani Kirit Sinai. Shaloya Sani Kirit Sinai. Okay. Let's go to the next... It's a good joke, Mayor, for the same mayor, for the women? I don't think so, right? I don't think so. Let's go to the next... Let's go to the next idea. Shaloyasan no kiritsoinai.
No, but what does the prophet say?
Shaloyasani kiritsoinai.
What do you say? Shaloyasani isha or Shaloyasani ishti?
What? Okay, let's go now. Some say it's very similar why we go on the right hand, because the pasuk says on the left side, v'imino tichab keni. The pasuk says simoiloi tachas l'roishi v'imino tichab keni. Hashem's left hand is tachas reishi. Pashit. Smoiloi tachas reishi. That is a whole new meaning. Whose left hand, when you fall on your left hand, whose left hand are you really falling on? You're imagining you're falling on Hashem's left hand. Hashem is embracing me. You think you're going, I'm my hand. No. You're putting yourself, I'm falling lefnei Hashchina. Vayipol, we learned from Yoshua, he fell lefnei Aaron Hashem. Moshe, vasnapal lefnei Hashem. It's before the Shechina. So everything is in front of the Shechina. It's Hashem's left hand, because Hashem's right hand is embracing me, but smiloi tachas l'roishi. Okay, well, that's really what tachnun is. Tachnun is, you're putting yourself in the matzah of midas hadin. You're being meiser atzma lemisa. That's what it's all about. But the pasuk is explicit. Smiloi tachas l'roishi. Others disagree, because we went through three reasons. Again, one more time. Three is the carbon is on the left. The left represents dignity. Dignity. You know, it also could be that when you... There's another idea. The Mizbeach. Let's jump to another idea of dignity. When you go on the Mizbeach, there is no steps. L'sale b'malois al mizbechi. You go up a ramp. Why? L'sigola ervoscha olav. The erva should not be exposed. Why? What's the problem with the erva being exposed? Well, there are two problems. Number one, it's a bezoin for the Mizbeach. And number two, it's a bezoin for you. It's a design for you. If you're exposed, we discussed this. When you light the menorah, there are steps. So the Torah is not always concerned about being exposed. There are three steps in front of the menorah. So what would be so terrible to have a couple of steps going to the mizbeach? Because when you go to the mizbeach, you're making a sacrifice. You're offering sacrifices. Sacrifices have to be done with dignity. When you're learning Torah, you're lighting the menorah, you're not giving up anything. In fact, you're illuminating the world. So then, it's no big deal. So you have to suffer a little bit. In politics, there's a lot of bizarreness. A lot of bizarreness in politics. So, you can handle it. But when you're giving up, when you're sacrificing your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah's makbid. Sacrifice shall be done with a dignity. You fall on the left because nefilas sapayim is sacrifice. I'm giving up my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you make sacrifice, you do it in a dignified way. A ben choyrin leans on the left, like we do at the night of the Seder. So our sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the Mizbeach dignity.
Going back to your head. Said, yeah. Shouldn't be down, should be left or right.
All right, come down in a few moments. Come.
Look at the siddur like this. Like
so you have to say it by heart. So, either you're saying it by heart. Okay, obviously, a lot of what I'm telling you is theoretical because, you know, we're not on the Madrega where we have these machshavas. Just the, and we have to. We have to read the psukim and we have to read the siddur. Okay, so we're not. But these are ideas. Okay, let's go to the right hand. Now the right, the reason why there's a strong disagreement. Some hold you should bedafka do it on the right. Now this touched upon what you said before, Mary, is that the left is midas hadin, the right is midas harachamim, the left is midas hadin. You don't have to overdo it. Going to the left, you're putting yourself, you know, don't overdo midas hadin. Don't compound din with din. Just like Nikar Adin, we're not supposed to learn Nach at night, Tanach at night. Because Torah Shebech Sav is din, night is din. Don't overdo it. It's already dark outside. You don't have to compound din with din. You have to fall, you want to fall from the Hashem? You don't have to go on the left. Don't overdo it. You can stay on the right. You should combine Rachamim with din. That would be a more proper balance. Others say that the Shekhinah, I don't know what this means exactly, the Shekhinah is on the right side. Now why is the Shekhinah on the right side? So when you're facing Mizrach, okay, when you're facing Mizrach and you turn towards your right, you're facing west. No, wait. You're facing the south. Facing the south.
South.
Okay, so I don't know. So maybe I don't know the answers. But some say there are some sources. Yeah, I don't know what this means. But some say that the Shekhinah is on the right side. I don't know. I mean, these are Kabbalistic ideas. Therefore, when you do the Nefilas HaPayim, you should go and you should put your head down on the right. Some say just the opposite. That because the Shekhinah is on the right, you bedafka fall on the left and you turn towards the right to be kineged the Shekhinah. So this is a discussion goes back and forth. Well, halacha l'maisa, what most of us do is we make a pshara. The pshara is that the shachris, when we're wearing tefillin, so then there's a question to be a bezoin for the tefillin. You're going, you're falling tachlon on the ritzuos. The ritzuos af kedusha. So it's a bezoin for the ritzuos. So then we fall on the right. But mincha, when you're not wearing tefillin, a lefty always then has an opportunity to fall on his left hand. However, now it's not so simple. It's not so simple because, let's say mincha. What does a lefty do at mincha? A lefty at shachris, they're going to fall on his left hand. Like everyone else falls on their right, so he's going to fall on his left. But what should a lefty do during shachris mincha? Should he fall on his left or fall on his right? So it's not so similar. This is a very interesting principle. The principle is a lefty. Which is his right hand, which is his left hand? Do we follow Yimin the Almo, or do we follow that the lefty, his left hand is the right? Yimin the day. Like Kiddush. Kiddush, you're supposed to hold the kos in your right hand. So let's say you're a lefty. So do you hold the kos in your right hand, or do you hold the kos in the left hand? Let's say you're making Kiddush publicly, you're in Shul, you're making Kiddush for the Tzibur. Everyone is watching you make Kiddush, and you're holding the Kiddush cup in your left hand. Oh, what an Amaretz, a Grav Amaretz. Or let's say take out the Sefer Torah. There's always a requirement. Take the Sefer Torah, the Heichal. They give you the Sefer Torah. So which side do you put the Sefer Torah on? On the left or the right?
Yeah, I was told that
you do the Yimin the Alma.
Things like that, you do it the
publicly.
Right.
So,
Yimin the Alma.
Yimin the Alma. You take out the Sefer Torah. You're a lefty. Do you put the Sefer Torah on?
No matter what.
So by Sefer Torah, the minig is always on the right side.
Yeah.
Because there's a general rule.
You do with your lefty or righty.
Right.
Is it true? Is that 100% certain? Okay, that's the minhag. The minhag is that, because generally things that are done publicly, generally you're going to do it the right of the world. So you should not stick out like a lefty. Yeah,
what? In condition at home, he makes it with his left hand.
Well, at home.
At home.
Yeah. They're different minhagim. Look at this. What?
You do.
And okay. Chilukei deos. Now the rule that I saw here, this is a very interesting rule. Okay, this is
left hand.
Yeah.
Okay, now this also.
I make this with my mouth.
Okay, there you go. Now the rule. Okay, the rule, he presents you a very interesting rule. I never was aware of this rule. There are things that we do with our left hand because strength. You need koyach. You want to have power. There are things we do with our right hand because we need power. There are things we do with the right hand because of honor. There are things that we do with our right hand because it's natural, writing. If a person is a righty and you write with your left hand, that's not a kosher ksiva. When it comes to writing a sefer Torah is possible. When it comes to signing to writing a get, it's possible. It has to be done with the kin, that's your koyach, that has your power. Then there are things, there's an entire shulchan aruch, a category of things that you do with your right hand because of inyone kabbalah. Now, we should not be foolish to think that I'm not a Mekubal, I have nothing to do with Kabbalah. There's no one today, no Orthodox Jew today that is untainted by Kabbalah. Everything Kabbalah has crept in, you don't realize it. Everything in Kabbalah is part of our lifeblood. We don't realize half the minhagim we do are all rooted in Yoni Kabbalah. How did this happen? I have no idea. It's been going on like this for at least 450 years. But that's the way it is. And you have, when you do things, why do you do this? So if you search, sometimes you'll find it's al pi halacha, that's nothing to do with Kabbalah. But sometimes you'll see that it's really, there is no logical reason, it's rooted in Yoni Kabbalah. Anything that is rooted in Yoni Kabbalah, when it comes to what is called your right hand, for a lefty, it's the left. Because in Yoni Kabbalah, it's difficult enough why it should be done with the right or the left, being that it's already very weak. When it comes to a righty and lefty, whatever is your stronger hand is called the right. Whatever is your weaker hand is called left. You follow your own. So therefore, when it... What? No, Shchita is not Kabbalah. Shchita has nothing to do with Kabbalah.
You only get Kabbalah in order to be yourself.
I mean, which animal, the animal, saw the animals put down upon? Okay, I don't know the answer. Okay, but the point I want to make...
Calling the basic English, it was a lefty.
Yes, he does. No, he cannot. He's a Baal Mum. A Kohen who is a lefty cannot do the Avoda, period. Cannot do the Avoda. There's a very big debate. Let's say you train yourself, you train from birth to use the other hand. So today the doctors tell us that it's wired in the brain.
Right.
It's wired in the brain, so how does that affect halacha? If a person trains himself, he transfers the strength right, through training to become a righty. If you'll tell me that it's wired in his brain is different, does that affect the halacha? I don't know, there's a debate. I'll tell him about this.
Yeah,
in
Adam,
a Einar, yeah? But he's a Kohen? Or Einar?
He's a Kohen.
Yeah, Einar? What?
He knows that he can't do the Avodah. But he's not an entire lefty, so every morning when he davens, he puts his tefillin on his right hand, then when he finishes davening, he has another pair of tefillin.
At the same time?
No. He takes off one pair of tefillin and he puts on another pair of tefillin.
Right, some do that. I know.
Someone who's ambidextrous should do that.
Ambidextrous, right. This is the shot. I know someone who also.
If you're lefty and you sometimes use your right hand.
You should put the tefillin on both hands. Both hands, one right. That's a very big chumrah. So there, it's not for the faint of heart. No, you don't do it. The second time, you don't do it. There's no hefsek. If you go to the bathroom, definitely, then there'll be a very big problem if he would do it. And he probably even then he wouldn't make a bracha. I'm willing to bet that if he, let's say he would be mafsik, and he would put on as a chum, on the other hand, he probably would not make a bracha because not necessarily yoitza. You're not mukha the yoitza the mitzvah because it's not in your right hand. It's not the ikar. Everyone agrees, only put the till in one hand. Torah didn't make a person crazy to put the till in both hands. It's a very extreme chumrah. So there are people that do it. Not everyone has the.
You have certain things. Rav Moshe flat out said, right, eat. What hand do you do it with? Only those two things, that's all I want to eat.
Right and eat, that's it.
Right and hold your fork. Hold a fork and spoon, and which hand do you write with? If it's your right hand, you're righty. If it's your left hand, you're lefty.
No,
don't bother me with all the other things.
That's right.
Do it differently.
No, my son has that.
Yeah.
He writes and he eats with his left hand.
And everything else?
Everything else, right.
So what does he do? As a lefty. Okay. All right, there are different methods.
Why can't a Kayan chef put his left hand up?
Gzeres HaKosef. Yamin. It has to be Yamin. Yeah. Even though Shchidik Shebazar
does... Yisrael?
Azar is a Balmon, can't do Shchidik. Shchidik Shebazar is a Shoy Kadavi Balmon. I'm not mistaken.
So Yisrael,
the right hand also. You know, the Ein Chag, Morris says, no bigger Balmon than being a Zar. I don't know the answer. Okay, let's go further. So this is the rule. The rule is, everybody say, the question is, why are we falling on the left hand? If you are going to stress, everybody say, please. I want to choose a few more things. Why are you falling on the left hand? If you're going to say the reason why you're falling on your left hand is because of Yoni Kabbalah, that's not a guarantee. There are other reasons why. Then a lefty would automatically have to fall on his right hand. So mincha, when you're not wearing tefillin, there's no problem. Then the lefty would also be falling on his right hand. Okay, so there's an issue of wearing tefillin, the straps. Is it called the bezoin? Is it not called the bezoin? There's another issue is, let's say there are people, they fall on their left hand even when they're wearing ritzuos. And they hold that it's not a bezoin to the ritzuos. It's only called the bezoin if you turn your head inward. Because you turn your head inward, that, I don't really understand why, that adds more of you covering the bias. But if you fall on your left hand, even when you have the ritzuos around on your hand and you turn to the right, that takes away the bezoyan to the ritzuos. Okay, now there's another meaning, and this is the meaning of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe did this, and someone actually, there's a tshuva, someone said to Rav Moshe, I saw you do this, why did you do it? What's this all about? And in fact, this is a meaning that's done by some groups of people. They fall on both hands. They wrap up both hands. Are you going to start doing this? They wrap up both hands together. They wrap both hands together, and they put their hands down on both hands. Rav Moshe did this. That's what it says here in the Sefer. They do on both hands. What?
You know what? You just said something. You're right. I was just visualizing the morning davening. When I saw him like that, you're right. I never thought about it.
Both hands together.
Sitting.
Of course. It says in Shulchan Aruch you have to sit.
And he put his head down.
No, not the palm. You're not allowed to fall on your hand. People that make it, they wouldn't talk that.
No,
that's forbidden.
Like
forbidden. It. Never allowed to fall.
You need a jacket.
What?
Right.
You're
not skin.
You're not allowed to fall on your skin.
On your skin, right. Okay. You're not allowed, it has to be covered. But you're not, the palm is off. Don't ever fall on your palm. We'll still in the moment. You have to fall, but some have the custom on both hands together.
Straight
down the middle. And which one goes on top? It's machloike. Some say the right, some say the left. If you're wearing where Rav Moshe talks about that, that it's not a bezoyin because he's not falling on the hand of the ritzus. He's falling on both hands,
but
the hand that's on top is the hand that does not have the ritzus. So therefore, it's not going to be called the bezoyin, but he falls on both hands together. This is a deeper level of the asnapal lifnei Hashem. What are you doing? You're falling tach. You're falling before Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're falling. And what about so as long as you're not on the ground, or even when you fall on both hands, you have to turn your head to the side. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now the Svardim don't fall on their hands altogether. The Svardim sit. They sit down and they say Tachlin. They don't say the Mizmor that we say. They say a different Mizmor. Yeah. Which Mizmor they say? God, which Mizmor? And the reason why they do not say is because they hold it to be a Sakana. That saying the Mizmor They say the real mizmar. The real mizmar from the field. We don't say the real one. And the reason why is because it's sakonis nefashos. So you're giving yourself over lenisa, and in fact, a person can have very, very negative consequence. So they don't say. Now, this is something very interesting. There's an isser in the old place can say of loytis koydidu. If you go to a sfaradish shul, and they're saying Tachlan, you're an Ashkenazi, you can daven whatever Shmoneh you want because no one knows what you're doing. You can wear your tefillin, a different tefillin. You don't have the vilish tefillin. You can do whatever you want as long as you don't make trouble. Your tefillin have black stripes. They're not going to throw you out for wearing black stripes. They're not going to throw you out for wearing blue stripes either. But all the sardim is a David Elecha Hashem Nosa Nafshi. Thank you very much. Le David Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esso. I lift up my neshama. Al tiftach pel satan. Al tiftach pel satan. Okay, now there's another reason why they don't say full on their heads, because the real sardim are saying all of the kavanos. See, even in the Siddur, it says Sarah, all these shemos. Okay, I have no clue with all these letters. It's the Akkor, the Aleph Beis, and there are shemos, all these mystical things. If you're going to fall down on your face, you're going to mess up the kavanos. You're not going to say the right kavanos. And if you don't say the right kavanos, you're in a lot of trouble. The kavanos are very spooky. So therefore, don't, if you're going to say it, say it from a sitter, say the right kavanos, and don't
they sit.
And don't do the wrong thing. So that's why they, the dafka, I don't think the svarim today, by and large, are saying the kavanos anyway, but since this is where it all came from, the reason why it came from, meaning I was saying the Yudenu, is not to fall al kapayim. The svaradim, just one thing, loitis goydidu. If you're in a shul where they fall and you're a svaradi, you have to fall. If you're an Ashkenazi and you go to a svar shul, otherwise, whatever, there is an issue of loitis goydidu when it comes to the Nefilas Kapayim, when Rome do like the Romans. Okay, we'll stop over here.